got a new walk and a new point of view, a new purpose for everything I do. I got a new rule, only real folks around. If you were wondering, I'm about to tell you nothing. It's the same pretty face, but a brand new smile. Same letter C, but she ain't walking, she's flying. New day making, big new see. If love found me, it could surely find you. Say it.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Sister Things. This is your girl, Liberated Lola Barber, and we thank you so much for being on the show tonight. I want to start out by giving a just unbelievably huge, gigantic thank you to everyone who has been listening. The listenership is off the charts. I couldn't ask for any more. It absolutely blows me away. You know, I don't go crazy promoting, but the word of mouth thing seems to be really taking flight, and people are sharing information about this show. I cannot tell you how many people I get emails from every day asking, can they be on the show? So it's like so exciting to me to see that this is happening. The vision that I held for it and that I still hold for it is huge, and I'm building just crazy numbers of people that I want to start bringing through here, not just to be interviewed, but also as radio personalities for different nights. So just to put it out there, I have three different nights that are still available that I want to offer to people. I'm going to start interviewing folks to see who's going to be on what night to offer shows. It's all about positivity. You know, I say all the time for Sister Think, it's about positive and powerful women encouraging each other and coming here to discuss, create, share ideas and lessons that support us, but that support the world. It's always my intention to help everybody see what that light is inside of them and help them turn that thing up bright so it can shine, because the more light you shine, the more people you can help find their way. And you know I've named the station that Finding Our Way Radio, because I believe that everybody, no matter where they are, younger, middle-aged, older, retired, married, divorced, whatever, everybody is simply finding their way. And that's why I get excited about the people that I'm able to have on the show, because they have such awesome, awesome, awesome stories. Like the young lady that I'm going to bring on tonight, she too has an awesome story. Her bio is amazing. And one of the things, I've been watching her now on Facebook probably for about 2 years. And so I'm not going to say I remember the beginning, because I don't remember the beginning. I wasn't there for that. But I have been watching a steady progression and a steady growth, and she is knocking it out the park. All of you out there who aspire to be playwrights or believe yourself to be writers and you want to share your story with the world, I think that she is, in fact, I know that she is an awesome testament to how powerful can be when you share your story with the world. I'm a firm believer that the things that happen to us because we're supposed to share. We ain't supposed to hold on to it, be ashamed of it, hoard it, hide from it. You're not supposed to do any of that. We're supposed to share it because it's our stories that help one another. This young lady that I am bringing on, she is a playwright. She's phenomenal. She's got books that she's authored, Reflections of Me and Unbreakable. She is a poet. I love that, fellow poet. CEO and founder of Mayan Productions, LLC, creator of the National Second Annual Playwrights Ball and Symposium. And Cruz, I'm going to that, 2014, holla, everybody pay attention. Like I said, the second annual Playwrights Bell and Symposium Cruise in 2014. I see that she is on the line, I believe. And I want to give, it's a nice bio, so I don't want to leave out any of it. A writer, director, producer of inspirational stage plays, Surrender, Even a Wretch Like Me, Mr. Harold, Behave, and The Devil Thought He Had Me. I'm so interested in hearing about that one. That one is coming to the National Black Theater Festival in D.C. here, and I have already got my tickets. I'm so excited about the young lady I'm bringing on. I can't wait to hear her story from her mouth. And so without further ado, and if I mess up your name, don't smack me through the phone. Pechanda Dubose, did I say it right?
You did a wonderful job, sis. You did a wonderful job. Hey, what's going on?
What's going on? Welcome to the show, sis. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I just am so glad to have you on here. And, you know, a lot of times when I do these interviews, you know, I do a whole lot of back and forth, like real interviewing, but I really just want to have a conversation with you.
Okay.
Yeah, you just seem like such real people, and, you know, a lot of us aspiring playwrights would just love to hear your journey. You know, we like to hear about people like Tyler Perry. That's awesome, but we can't touch Brother Tyler right this minute. So, you know, just hearing your story and hearing how your progression has gone would be so outstanding to me. But first, before we get into any of that, I have never met anybody named P. Chanda before, so you're going to have to explain that to me if you don't mind. Where did that beautiful name come from?
Well, thank you, sis. I really appreciate that. First of all, I want to say thank you so much for this opportunity, for this platform. I am extremely grateful on the behalf of myself, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and my cast, who I believe some of them may be calling in tonight. We want to thank you for this platform. We don't take it for granted. We are honored to be featured here tonight. And it's also a blessing to finally hear your voice. We've known each other, like you said, for a couple of years, and we never actually heard each other's voices. So it's wonderful to finally hear you in the flesh.
I agree.
P. Chanda came from my aunt, who is from Wilmington, Delaware, where I was born and raised most of my life. My aunt and my mother wanted me to have a name with peach in it, and they both combined their ideas and came up with P. Chanda.
Well,
that's
it is beautiful, and I can't say it without smiling. I promise you, I cannot say that name without putting a big old smile on my face. So whatever they were trying to accomplish, it worked.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I embrace my name. I love it. You know, as a child, you know, it was kind of difficult because it was a strange name. But, you know, I grew into it, and I just, you know, began to love my name because it really embodies who I am. It does. It fits me very well.
Well, I like to hear that. You know, my name is not a common name, but I definitely had to grow into it because there weren't any other girls in class named Lola, trust and believe.
Right.
it was just me, 100%. Yes. I do see the board is lighting up, and so as people, if you want to say something or share, if you are part of the cast, as we get into the conversation, just press the number one, and I'll know that I need to open up your line so that your mic will be ready.
I have everybody calling. Family members, cast members, you know, I told them to call in and show us some love tonight. I really appreciate everybody.
Well, I appreciate you. I really, really do. What I want to ask you, though, like I said, I really do, and I just decided actually to change the way I do it right before we did the call. I just, a feeling that I had about you, which made me want to do that. Tell me about you. Tell me about, you know, how you started writing. Tell me about who are you?
I don't know if we have enough time for that question, but I'll take a shot at it. I'll give it a shot. Well, you know, I am 39 years old, born and raised by a single mother, and a large portion of my life I was raised, in fact, by my grandmother, who's passed away some years now, who had a tremendous impact on my life. I never knew my father. Whoever he is, I love him in spite of, but I wouldn't know him if he walked past me on the street. You know, I am a single mother. I have two beautiful teenagers. I have a 14-year-old son, a 16-year-old daughter. I am a survivor of domestic violence. I'm a survivor of street life. I was raised as a church girl, was a good girl 90% of my life growing up, and God saw fit to allow me to experience some things, I believe, to enhance his kingdom and be a living witness to millions of women and men around the country, to let them know that just because, you know, you're in a certain situation, that does not have to be the end of your story, and I'm living proof of that.
Wow. And so were you writing before? Well, I can't even say before, because from what you're telling me about yourself, it's been a journey, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And so because it's been a journey, when did you start writing about it, or when did the expression of writing first start to come for you?
Okay, I was writing since a child. Poetry was a way of expression for me as a young girl. I remember writing poems for my mother and my grandmother when I didn't have money for Mother's Day gifts. So what I would do was I would create beautiful poems for my mother and my grandmother. And, you know, I was always a sort of an artist. You know, I knew how to package it and make it look pretty in a little frame and, you know, Happy Mother's Day, you know. So that's where it started. And like I said, I grew up in a predominantly single-parent home. And for a large portion of my life, my grandmother raised me as well. And I was raised I was fortunate to have a big sister. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Big Brother, Big Sister Association.
Definitely.
I was assigned a big sister, Olethea Everett, who resides in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Her and I still are in communication with each other to this day. And she introduced me for the first time ever to a Maya Angelou book. And he gave me that book. The rest was history. You know, my daughter is named after Maya Angelou. Thus, Mayan Productions was really influenced by my love for Dr. Angelou. I named my daughter after her. And my son, his nickname is Man, so there is where Mayan Production comes from. It's a combination of my son and my daughter's name, which all came from the evolution of my love for Dr. Maya Angelou.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's outstanding. She's a grand lady, that's for sure.
Yeah. And, well, I never actually set out to be a playwright, to answer your question. I joined the church back in 2010. A lot of people don't know that, but I've only been a playwright now for almost 4 years. It hasn't been long at all. I wrote my first stage play for a church that I used to be a member of as a fundraiser. And, you know, I took that production and I went on to do it on my own, and the rest is history. I had a gift in me that I never thought was there. I always wrote poetry, but I never said, okay, I want to write a play. I want to be Tyler Perry. That just wasn't on my radar. But God saw fit for it to be birthed in me in this season.
Let me ask you a question. What made you, I know a lot of times when people begin to write, and myself included has experienced this, they always kind of wonder whether or not people are going to like what they wrote. You know, you start to write and you say, well, I want to put this out there, but, you know, are other folks going to get it? When was it that you knew that you had a gift and that if you wrote it and you put it together right on that stage, that folks were going to be gravitated towards it?
Well, I knew that I had a gift because of the way it flew out of me, you know, because my first play, I wrote it in 2 days. I just knew it was my season because it wasn't hard. It wasn't a struggle. God gave me the words, and all of my writing comes from inspiration. I can't write anything if I'm not inspired. So for me personally, it flows from me, my spirit, and from my own real life instances. It all flows from within. And also, I need to tell you this because you hit on it a few minutes ago. I'm not too much worried about how people will receive it. If I'm inspired, I know somebody out there is going to feel it. So if you're worried about the opinions of people, you'll have some people who will love it and you'll have some people say, oh, I didn't like that. So you have to just go with what you believe. You have to believe in it yourself. You have to know who you're targeting. If you're writing a story, who is a certain group of people you want to target? And you just have to go. You just have to go with what you feel, and that's what I do. I hate to say it like that, but I really don't care for the ones who don't feel it. I care for the ones who will be impacted. That's just the way I chose to. That's the way I chose to go with it.
No, that's exactly why I asked you that, because I think one of the biggest lessons that we learn as writers is that if you're moved by it, there's somebody out there who will connect with your story.
That's the whole point. And you can't worry about the masses who might not be feeling it, because apparently it's not meant for them to be reached in particular about your story. But there's millions of other people who get it and who do understand. There's millions of women who cannot relate to my current production because they've never experienced it or they never lived through it. But there are so many more women who can and who do appreciate it. So you just have to go with where your support is. And that's where your attention should remain anyway, you know, that's just any successful playwright, author, writer, poet will tell you the same thing. You just have to gravitate to the people who show you love and who appreciate what you're doing.
Well, I appreciate that, you sharing that, that mm-hmm. frankness and that honesty. I don't think there was anything wrong with you saying those who ain't feeling it, it's all right. I really didn't write it for you.
It's all good. It's all good.
That's okay. That's what you want.
Oh,
I'm going to say one
people,
more time. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. There were people, sis, who strongly discouraged me not to tell my true story. They were like, just, you know, write the story, but don't tell nobody it's about you. I'm like, for what? I mean, really? My story of survival is not about Pichanda. It's about that next woman who's still in it.
That's right.
I don't care about, you know, what people learn about my past or, you know, what they feel or how they may look at me, because I understand when the scripture says those who are in Christ are become new creatures. So, you know, even though I'm sharing my story, that's the old Pichanda. But I'm not ashamed of the old Pichanda, because the old Pichanda had to go through what she did to become the new Pichanda, to help inspire, uplift women who are still in it. I don't know where we get this thing where we feel like, okay, we're up out of it, and so we're just going to show the world a shiny finished product. But no, you need to tell people how you became that shiny finished product. And, you know, that's a sign of a person who is unselfish. Anytime they can become transparent and say, this is how I made it over. So I'm going to show you me to show you that you can survive anything, just like I did, you know. And so that's, you know, my motivation for telling my story is just because it's not about me. My desire is to help other people who are still stuck in it, because I could have been still stuck in it.
Well, I appreciate that. And I want to say once again, the board is lit up. So anyone who on the line who is like to share something as we go ahead and move through the process and the conversation, if you're a part of the cast, please press 1 to light up your line so that I can open it for you so that you can jump in here and share as much as you want, because that's what this is all about. This is a conversation, and this is a sharing space for everybody to grow. So this is, you know, I'm really serious about that. So as you're there, if you press the button, you will be let in. One thing
or
I want to ask you,
anybody
who's on the board, if you have something to share, you have a question or you have a comment, just press the button. One thing I wonder, you said it a couple of times now, so I do want to get into what is your story? Like, out of the plays and the things that you've written, you know, how do they reflect what you've gone through?
Well, is there a certain production in particular, or are you speaking of all of them? Because all of them have a huge dose of reality. That's the only way I know how to give it, sis. That's the only way I know how to give it is real. I've never been into picture polished type stories, because that's not real. It's not real life. So if we're talking about my current production, The Devil Thought He Had Me, it's based very, very tightly on a lot of sequence of events that took place in my life. I survived a very abusive marriage. You know, I survived street life. I ran a liquor house for almost 4 years. And any and everything that come along with street life came through that place, from shootouts to dope boys to fights to prostitution to all kind of things. You know, God saw me through a very rough period of my life right after my marriage. And like I said, you know, it's a beautiful story of evolution, you know. And in the play, we depict it very well. We use various forms of art. We use poetry. We use rap. We use singing, we use comedy, romance. We have all those different elements. We've combined them all together to tell a beautiful story.
When you first started, when you started doing your plays, mm-hmm. and I know you always have great cast members that come through, how did you start? Like when a person, because I want this to be a learning space, too, for people who are working on doing what you're doing. So when you start putting a play together, how do you know how to get the cast? How to make, you know, how did you learn that piece, like how to put a play together? How did you learn that?
Okay, as far as which one you want me to take on first, the play or the cast?
The first one, the very first one. When you're putting a play together, how did you learn? Because, you know, how did you come to learn how to put a play together? You know, how to pick the cast and how did you learn to put that together?
Girl, I didn't know what I was doing in the beginning. I really didn't. I didn't know what I was doing. I was basically feeling my way, and I attached myself to mentors, to people who did know. So that's important to attach yourself to people who know more than what you do. And so I attached myself to a couple of mentors, veterans in the game of, you know, the playwright industry, and, they took me under their wing, basically in my own evolution, because each playwright does it differently. I never really audition. I don't favor auditioning. To me personally, it's really a waste of time, because I'm more of a spiritual, intuitive type writer, producer, and director. I have to really feel like somebody that I'm putting in a particular part of my production. I have to feel like they've read the script, if they can identify or they have a passion for the particular role, because that's gonna become apparent in the production and to the dedication of the production. It's important for me to feel like they really understand what I'm trying to get across, because any actor that's a phenomenal actor, or, you know, they can act a part out, but it has to be an underlying passion. So I believe in building relationships with certain actors for me to call them in and say, hey, I got something for you. And that's a result of me watching works that they've done with me or other writers or other directors. I cast people based off of relationships and based off of what I've seen them do before. Or if God just leads me, God leads me to a lot of actors who've never done it before. He's given me that ability to help, undiscovered actors to realize something in them that they didn't have before. But to answer your question, mentorship is very important. Attach yourself to people who know more than you do. And I still have mentors. I still a whole lot I need to learn. So mentorship, somebody you trust to help guide you along the way, is very, very, very important.
That's, and I believe that. You know, you, and every part of what you said answered my question. Don't even worry about that. I see 914-308. I'm about to make your live line caller on area code 914-308. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
How are you? Please tell us your name and go ahead and speak what you'd like to speak.
Well, my name is Trey. Hi, Katanda.
Hi, how are you?
I'm fine. This is Trey. I was just calling in.
Hey, sis. Thanks for calling in, baby. Thank you so much.
Oh, no problem. I really wanted to hear what was going on tonight. And and I'm enjoying the show right now, because I can identify with everything that you're saying, but I'm really enjoying the show, and I'm happy for you. And I know I'll see you sometime soon.
Yes, tell them your part. Tell them how you're connected to the devil thought he had me.
Well, I'm only singing in it right now.
Stop that. She is one of my phenomenal background vocalists. She is.
All right. Well, yeah, no, there's no such thing as only. Every person in that position has got a big part. Ain't no such thing as only.
That's right.
That's true. But I met another artist, and we became very cool just because of us conversating and sharing the same thing, but going through the same thing. And that's how I ended up there. I didn't audition like she said. I didn't do anything like that. I learned some stuff, but that was basically it. And I really like what she's doing. I can identify with what she's doing, and I hope people, I'm sure so many people are going to be blessed to know that they can make it.
Amen.
So, and I know that's really what the ultimate goal is, to get people out, because there is a way out.
Amen.
We want to get out. You know, sometimes people just stay there, and it's okay to say, it's not fine. The Lord doesn't want you to be, want nobody beating on you. They don't want you in all, the Lord don't want you in all kinds of situations that is not healthy for you. So you have to think about yourself and what your purpose is here, you know.
And that's right.
I appreciate that, Trey.
Oh, no problem.
No, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Excuse me?
No, I appreciate you sharing your part in it, because that's real talk. And God does not want you being beaten on or being mistreated. You are a precious gift to him, so you are right about that, and I'm glad that. And I hope other women who, you know, may not be a part of your production, who just listen and who follow the show and who are tapping in today, because the board is definitely lit up, hear that, you know, wherever you are. And Pichanda just said it. It's not, that doesn't mean that's where you have to stay and that's where you're supposed to be. It's just something that you're passing through. And it's so important that you learn that. Thank you, Trey. I appreciate you sharing.
Thank you so much. I love you. I love you. I'll see you next week.
Okay.
Okay, baby. Bye-bye.
Okay.
And she said something really powerful. I want to know from you,
mm-hmm.
what was the thing that finally said, that's it, that's enough, I can't be in this no more? Because, I mean, women being abused is such a serious, serious issue. And like she said, you have to come to the point where you realize, I'm not doing this no more. I deserve better than that. What was that point for you when you decided for yourself, I got this better for me than this, I deserve more than this?
When my daughter, you trying to make me cry now, girl, my baby.
No, I'm not.
She was, my daughter at the time, she was 3 years old, and my son, he was still, you know, maybe, I think he was about maybe almost one, and she wiped the blood away from my face one day. Mommy, what happened? That was it for me. I did not want to flash back another 20 years from that day and see my daughter in the same situation. So I did it for my kids. I didn't have enough strength to leave on my own because I still loved him. But because of my children, I did not want my son, who was a baby at the time, to think that was normal and that was a way to treat his wife or his girlfriend. And I definitely did not want my daughter to think that, you know, that's the way love was. So I got my strength from my two children. That was it for me.
That is so what you just said is golden. That's so powerful.
I left and came back a million times, but that day, that was just it for me. That was, you know, it wasn't easy, you know, and I want to advise any woman who's going through something like this to devise a plan. When you're dealing with a violent man or violent women, it's a lot of men who are abused too, sis, believe it or not. You have to devise a plan because those people are very territorial. They're very controlling. And you have to devise a plan, you know, establish a secret savings account, get some kind of support system from somebody who can get you out. You have to devise a plan because you're dealing with people who really have serious emotional issues. So, you know, you can't just, a lot of times, you know, people say just leave. It's not that simple when you're dealing with somebody like that. So devise a plan and execute it with somebody that you trust. And, you know, you need to pray about who your support system is because, you know, it's all about being safe in your exit as well.
That's valuable. So there needs to be some strategy put into place for you to do that successfully. I appreciate that. Because I think that's what a lot of women, it's like, how can I just leave? Well, no, you can't just. You got to put some planning into it.
But you have to leave. I don't care what your preacher is telling you, pray about it, bump that. You know, that's just not God's will for nobody to be abused. And, you know, I had a couple of ministers advise me to stay with my husband. You know, I could have been dead if I listened to them. You know, I could have been dead if I listened to that counsel. I'll never forget the day I found army duffel bag, a short thick chain, and then a long linky chain, a gun, and some duct tape. But my pastor advised me to stay in that. He was planning to kill me if I left him. That's what I'm saying. You have to devise a plan and have some kind of strategy and have a really, really strong support system. Hello?
Kachanda, I'm back. I had some technical difficulty over here, but you can go ahead and keep on going. I'm back on. You never discontinued though. We stayed live. Are you there? Kachanda, are you there?
Where did she go?
All right, do I have you back? Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, no, we good. I got you back. You're back on the line. I'm sorry. This blog talk, I love it. But like my husband says, we're going to do something else for the next phase. it can get kind of tricky sometimes, but you never got cut off, though. It continued to, I made the session continue to go.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you, you know, you were talking about having to have some level of strategy in order to be able to get out. What's your plan? Like, I want you to talk about your play, your present production, in completion, but tell us all about that towards the end of the call. But what is your strategy? Like, you know, like I said, people look at Tyler Perry, they look at this person and that person, and they say, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that. Do you eventually want to go to doing screenplays, to doing movies, or do you want to take your plays to like a Broadway circuit? What's your goal for yourself when it comes to your production?
Well, just like everything else that's happened in my life, if that is what I'm destined to be and do, then I'm more than open and welcome to it. I don't know what the future holds, but I believe that my productions will go beyond the level that they are now because of what he's placed in me. What exactly avenue am I going to take? Not sure, because just like me becoming a playwright, that was something I didn't see in, you know, I'm just open to whatever opportunity he has for me. I mean, I've been offered movie situations and different types of venues and avenues, just embracing it all right now. From comic strips to movies to Broadway to festivals, I've been afforded to be able to do a whole lot of different things, and I'm just embracing it all.
That's outstanding. Like I said, I can't wait for this particular production to come. Tell us specifically what this particular production is about.
Well, it's about, as I mentioned earlier, what happened during that period of my life when, you know, I was, in fact, going through this. And it also highlights a large portion of when I used to run a liquor house and what was going on with me then, and how it all ties into my survival story. It's a wonderful story. And like I said, it's not just your average stage play. We bring in so many different elements to tell the story. You know, you don't have too many stage plays who have embodied rap, poetry, dance, drama, romance, comedy, all of that on one stage. So it's not just, you know, your average production. It's really a melting pot of so many different levels of artistic expression to tell my story. And I'm not going to tell nothing else. You got to be there. You got to come see it. And thank you for tickets. I really appreciate that. I appreciate the love. But I'm talking for those who haven't got their tickets.
Oh, no, absolutely. They're going to be there. We're going to do an absolute,
right.
I don't know what to call it, full out, not fundraiser, but we're going to make a whole bunch of noise and make sure that everybody's, I will be promoting that play until that play is come and gone here in the D.C. area. Believe that.
Well, awesome.
Because I believe that it's just that important to do that. And I'm going to ask a real, probably simple question. You said it twice now, but I don't want to take for granted that everybody knows what it is, because I think I know what it is, but I ain't sure. Well, you keep saying a liquor house. What is a liquor house?
It's basically illegal after-hours establishment where people can come and buy alcoholic beverages, smoke weed, sell drugs, whatever it is that they're doing on time of morning. You know, I ran one of those establishments for, like I said, nearly 4 years.
Okay.
It's a juke joint, just like they had in The Color Purple. Remember when they used to go to the juke joint?
That's right.
Yeah, fried chicken wings, card games, all that kind of stuff going down.
All right, like Harpo's juke joint. I got you.
Yeah, but it was a modern day. It was a modern day version, though. It was a modern day, you know.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm,
that,
modern
that
day version.
tell me, what? Give us some information, because I don't know. Hopefully, this Blog Talk thing is going to pan out for us for a little bit longer. But tell us exactly where your play is, where
mm-hmm.
people can access you, websites, whatever you want to give out. Tell them exactly what's going down for you right now.
Okay, well, it's going to take place at the, well, we were going to change venues, but we decided to stay with the original venue, the Ira Aldridge Theater on the campus of Howard University. June the 28th at 9 p.m. is taking place during the D.C. Black Theater Festival. For tickets, you can either inbox me to get them from me on Facebook, or you can either log on to www.dcblacktheaterfestival.com. That's dcblacktheaterfestival.com.
Okay.
My personal email is peaches.dubose@yahoo.com. And you can find me on Facebook, Peachanda Dubose. It's PEACHANDA. Dubose, DUBOSE.
And, okay, this is out now, and this just sounds like it's traveling. So now I want to ask you, what's next? What's next for you? Where is it going next, or what do you have coming up next?
I'm so happy you asked that. upon our return to North Carolina, after we do the festival, we're going to begin in filming for a DVD national distribution of the play. So pretty soon, hopefully this time next year, you'll be able to purchase The Devil Thought He Had Me in any major stores, Best Buy, Walmart, you know, places like that, where you can actually buy the nationally distributed DVD version of the stage play, Redbox,
wow.
All those type of places. Yeah, that's what we're working on when we come back after the festival.
Okay, and so after the festival, will the play be going to any other part of the country where people can see it? Or if you haven't seen it yet, do they need to get in their cars from Delaware, from Virginia, from North Carolina,
Absolutely.
And drive here to see
yeah,
it?
Yeah, they need to make their way to D.C. to see it, because we're not for certain when, in fact, the next live performance is, because we're focusing on the DVD filming. And that would indeed take some time. I have some places in mind. I would like to take it to Georgia and South Carolina shortly after our DVD filming. But that may take a minute, so I advise everybody, because you're going to hear about it, you know. If you're in the surrounding areas, it's worth the drive, you know, it's worth it, because I just can't put it into words what's going to take place June 28th.
No, I believe that. The night when I saw whatever I saw pop up, I hurried up and got my tickets, because I didn't want anything
so
to come
much.
Up or think about or nothing. I said, let me just, and I look, I don't even know who's going with me, but I bought two.
And so,
I want to tell everybody,
mm-hmm.
grab your girlfriends, grab your sisters, grab your mothers, get in the
mm-hmm.
car. It's nothing to ride from Raleigh, from Delaware, from New York to the D.C. area. It's 4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Just jump in the car, take that ride, have a good evening, and just enjoy it. Let me ask you a question. What's one feeling you think people will walk away with when they leave that place? They will leave away feeling?
Changed. Changed.
Woo! She said
changed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's
That's
no other
wild.
Way to put it. Yeah, there's no other way to put it. We also offer charter service through Mayan Productions. We'll be stopping through Charlotte, Salisbury, Greensboro, Winston-Salem, and Richmond, Virginia on the way to D.C. So those services are available if you want to, in fact, ride with me and the cast up to D.C. If you're in any one of those cities, you can just simply inbox me to get set up for the charter bus services as well. I forgot to mention that earlier.
Well, that's hot. I don't know any other playwright trying to help you get there through transportation. So I'm saying
Yes. Y'all
need to see where this lady's heart is, and you need to take advantage of the fact that she says you will leave that production and you will feel changed. I want to tell you, is it Peachanda? I heard the other young lady sound like she said it a little bit differently. Is that how you say it?
It's Peachanda. That's
okay.
That's the way it's pronounced by my mother and my aunt. A lot of people say Pashonda too. So either way, it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I want to make sure that you guys understand that what we have on the call tonight, what we have on the show tonight, is someone that you will be hearing very, very, very big things about. And so keep following her. Keep following her stage productions. Keep following her career. Look out for that DVD that's coming. When it comes out, buy it and give it as gifts to everyone you know, because you don't know who else's life it might change. I want to thank you so much, Pashonda, for being on my show. I so appreciate it. I'm so humbled to have you and so honored to have you on. I know that people have listened and they have gotten a lot from it, and I can't wait. I'm challenging everybody. I put a challenge out there. Get those tickets, buy one and give one. Everybody buy a ticket and give a ticket to somebody else. Everybody, let's meet up at the D.C. Black Film Festival on Howard University's campus, and let's show this young woman how much we support her, how much we salute her, and how much we believe in her. Okay,
thank
so everybody,
so
let's
much.
Do that.
Thank you so much.
Thank
I really,
you.
Really, really appreciate it. I really do. And I look forward to seeing you June 28th and getting my big hug from you.
I really
appreciate it. I look forward to doing your show again here real soon.
All right. Thank you so much, y'all. Thank you so much for being on the show tonight, for listening. The board, like I said, is absolutely lit up. I can't wait to see how many people were listening online as well. I thank you
again.
Let
them holler at me. Let them say something. What's up, y'all? Say hey. Tell me your name. Holler at me right quick. Who's online?
That's right, everybody. If you online,
yeah.
Say hello right quick. I'm opening up everybody's mic. Whether you ask
yeah,
me
y'all
to
come
or not.
On. Quit playing now. Quit playing.
Everybody, they lighting them up. You scan them. They pressing the button.
I've been on the line the whole time, but she ain't pulled me, so I just waited, you know.
Who's
and
this?
I just listened.
This is Mary Boyles. I've been on the line, too.
Oh, hey, baby.
Time.
Hi, Mary. How you doing,
sweetheart? Oh, good. Teachers. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Mary, tell Lola where you're calling from. Tell Lola where you're calling from.
I'm calling from.
From where?
Mary?
She might have got faded out.
Where was she calling from?
50%
off.
Hello?
I was asking, where was she calling from?
Oklahoma.
Oh, wow. Oklahoma.
Okay, y'all holler at me. Who else is on here?
I've been on here the whole time trying to get to you. It's
Cassie. Hey, darling. Tell everybody where you calling from, babe.
I'm from the Washington, D.C. area, so,
see?
Yeah.
Thank you so much. She has her own show, too, as well, Lola. I'm going to connect y'all.
Okay, let's do that most definitely. I appreciate that. I appreciate everybody being on the line, coming on to support her in this, because that's what we need. We need support. We need tight folks who are going to be in our corner and who are going to tell other people about us, because it's real good when you're smiling and you're saying, oh, you're so great. Well, go tell somebody else about me. So everybody, keep talking about it. Keep passing it on. Keep sharing. And come back here again, because we're going to talk to you again after the festival and after the play.
All right. I'll be here. Thank you so much, Tiff.
All right.
You
thank
much.
You. Good night, y'all.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good night.
I got it.